Welcome back, everybody. We are talking with Dean Clifford about his arrest and victory after being jailed, pretty much. And, of course, we are trying to weave this into the idea of it's better standing up, fighting on your feet as a free human being than to beg on your knees for someone else to keep you safe and protect you and grant you a life that at that point might be nothing more than, well, pretty miserable, actually. And having other people controlling our lives, and that is, of course, the crux of the whole, problem here. That we have crooks that are taken over; they're forced the majority of the people on this planet into a system that's set up by them. And we were just talking about this idea also that they're basically mimicking a natural system, and they're superimposing their system on top of it. And I want to talk a little bit more about this idea of both natural law, Dean, and also get into how a system that would be good that you were kind of suggesting at the end of the first hour, how that would work a little bit. And again, what measures you think would have to be taken to prevent this from basically ending up in the same situation as we're now in. On some level, I've always felt that if there is no system, there is no system to corrupt. If you have human beings that are responsible primarily for themselves and to remain in the areas that they want to be in and with the people they want to be with and live in the certain way that they want to do, there is a greater chance that they might be able to, keep the forces of those crooks out, in a sense, that they would be able to not let them run their lives, basically. But what we have now is that we've given up our trust to these people. We've given up our trust to a system to take care of us, to protect us, to supply us with certain things. And with that comes dependency, of course, and it's with that dependency that we've been manipulated. So it's a very, very tricky thing to create something and then expect it not to be corrupted by the same forces. What do you think about those ideas, Dean?
Oh, there's no question. And I think actually just what you're saying there, I think one of the core problems here actually is these publicly funded education systems where the government makes sure that your kids are about as uneducated and ignorant to their rights as possible. And that's taken place over a couple of generations here. I don't think that was something that was probably a consideration 100 years ago or 200 years ago.
You took care of your, sorry to interrupt you, but exactly, you took care of your own children. You were giving them the education, teaching them that. Today, it's kind of like, it's obviously reversed, but most parents, they willingly leave their children to the state. They spend more time with the government than they do with their own parents these days. And many people are in such a position where they're working all the time. They're really, really tired. They don't want to deal with it. And the few interactions that the parents have with the school is basically to put the parents in a place where they feel kind of almost ashamed. They're embarrassed that they maybe can't offer more or something like that, so that the schools and these so quote-unquote professionals are kind of justified to deal with your child, pretty much. I mean, that must be one of the most insidious plans ever, to basically steal the kids and put them in school. That's how the first school system actually was put in place. They were forcing the children, taking them off the parents and putting them in, the communal facilities, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the government knows better, and oh, these people are professionals. They can do a much better job than the child's own parents can do. I know school teachers. I'm friends with school teachers, and I've seen what they're doing to the curriculum now. Believe me, just about anybody can teach kids better than what the school system allows to be done these days. It's just absolutely remarkable what's going on in these schools, and it's disgusting. And that's the problem, is we don't know any better. And that's why we lost our freedoms, is because we didn't know any better. It was all by stealthy encroachment. It was all by design. You got to remember, these are families that have been around for hundreds of years, maybe even 1,000 or so years. You're never really sure. And they've got lots of time on their hands. And they just plan for 20 years down the road so that when their kids are old enough to start taking over the old family dynasty, that the people are just that more deluded, that weaker, and that more ignorant of their rights. So it's even easier to accomplish all the goals that they wanted to get across, which is all this one world government puke and all the statutes and governments and democracy and all this nonsense. I don't think they really counted on the internet or the rise of the truth movements going right now, or the ability of people to recover from what has been generations of brainwashing and training, government training. If you that's why I call schools government training centers, training us to not even be able to think or consider that society could function without government, which is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. If you look in the grand scheme of things, governments in their modern incarnation here and how they exist today is such a modern phenomena of the last 50 years. There's never before been something like this.
No.
And isn't it interesting that there's never been this many problems on the planet?
Well, it's got to be a connection.
There's got to be a connection. I keep laughing about this with people up here. I say, yeah, you know what? Government is supposed to be managing the resources and they're supposed to be looking after things. I said, but isn't it interesting that everything the government touches, it F's it up?
Yeah.
Up here in Canada, the government ran fisheries. Fisheries is destroyed. They ran forestry. Forestry is destroyed. They ran mining. The mining is destroyed. Every industry the government touches or attempts to regulate, they utterly destroy it. So why anybody could possibly believe that we need these people to organize and manage everything is absolutely beyond me. And I think people are starting to wake up to that now. And they're like, man, I couldn't screw up that bad. I would do a better job.
But that is intention, wouldn't you say, if you look behind the veil, behind the scenes, that to take away the production of most Western countries seems to be something that they've been effectively been on the agenda, if you will. But outwardly, officially, of course, they always say, oh, it's so difficult, you know, we're doing the best we can, but we need more money. Give us more money and we'll do better, we promise.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, give us another chance. We'll fix everything. Yeah, right. That is exactly it. They're always telling you one thing when believe me, if they are very good at getting exactly what they want. If they wanted the resources managed properly, they would be managed properly. That is not the goal of the government, is to manage things properly and for the people as a whole to benefit. That's the exact opposite of everything that they're doing, again, because these private corporation governments, they don't have your best interests at heart. They don't care about you. They're not there to serve you. They're not there to protect you. They're not there to do anything for your benefit. But in the reverse, like the republic that was created by the organic constitution and the idea of the commonwealth that exists underneath the democracy here in Canada, that is the entire point of the creation of those organizations. So you could say that our current governments are the actual antithesis to the real governments that we had created, or to what natural law would dictate. So they are the complete opposite. They're the mirror image of what we should be doing.
So you're basically saying that there was a time when these governmental systems based on natural law was okay. And if that's the case, have you been able to find and pinpoint, obviously, as we've said so far, this is historically, it's a long period of time. They're long-term planners that take over one thing at a time and this and this and that. But at some point, is there any kind of evidence that they're starting to move in and take things over? I mean, it could be one of the world wars or something like that before or after this time?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I've got my predictions of what's going to happen here in the short term, in the near future. But don't give into a lot of the fear mongering and everything that's going on out there right now. But these systems that I'm talking about still exist, and they're there. The republic that was created by the organic constitution of the United States, it's still there, but it's buried. You don't know it's there, and nobody fills any of the offices. It's just like it's just there, but it's not being used. Is buried by this democracy that they got all the politicians to abandon their posts in the real government and come over into this new government, and that's why they get you to go sign up there. You make application to vote. You register to vote in a democracy. So that's how they get you to leave the protections of the republic, which exists. It's inherent. You don't have to join the Republic. It's already there. It's there to protect people already. But they must get you to register to become part of their system to get you out of those protections. Right? That's all that's going on. It's the same thing up here in Canada. It's no different than our human rights or our rights as man, members of mankind. They haven't been stripped. They haven't been removed. They've just been buried. They've been buried under nonsense. And most people think it's something that we have to reclaim. No, it's nothing we have to reclaim. We have to sweep out all the other crap filling our heads. That's all we have to do is empty all the crap that they've been putting into our heads. And in there is our natural rights, common sense. We just know certain things are right or wrong. It's all still there. They can't get rid of any of that. All they can do is convince you that something else is the case.
Would you say, Dean, that natural law also has to be tied with knowing what that is by nature? I mean, being close to nature, being tied to it, let's say working the land or surviving off the land, that there is a wisdom and also, I've said, maybe a fulfillment tied into that. But most people today, they're stuck in, you know, mega cities, the mega hubs where, you know, as you mentioned, with the education, political correctness, brainwashing, TV, media, and everything else, they're disconnected from the natural cycles of everything. Therefore, knowing what natural law is something that they are moving further and further away from.
Yeah, I see that trend is being reversed right now, though, actually. A lot of people are starting to come back to it because they're so messed up in that system. People, I mean, that's why suicide rates are so high. That's why crime is so – everybody's just so detached from reality right now that it's almost like I don't even know what to say about that. It's just – it's unbelievable what's going on. But there's definitely a shift going back now to exactly what you said, natural forces – the natural law, all natural law is based on these natural processes. If you go back and you start reading some stuff from 400 years ago, I always like to bring up Sir Francis Bacon there, stuff that he wrote, simply because that's what he did. He would go out and he would observe things in nature and see how the natural forces worked. And that's how he would derive a lot of his theories on law. That's where all law derives from. So it's not hard to go back to source or find the source for law because it's all around us. It's just the way nature operates. They're generally accepted or commonly accepted truths, self-evident truths, right?
Yeah.
That's all it is. Everything else is puke. All this stuff that they claim that we need, we don't need. Again, we could have a perfectly functioning government that does not have politicians that meet every other day and pass millions of new laws every year because law is already well established. We don't need new laws. Our rights are already well established. We don't need any new ones, which means we do not need rooms full of people thinking up new crap every day. That whole system of government can be dismantled. It's not. It's unnecessary. But we do need some system in place because we still need roads being built and maintained if we want to have any semblance of a civilization. That stuff still needs to go on. But you could probably do away with about 90% of government.
Well, and also, why couldn't that be handled by people, again, who just get together on the matter at hand? What do you need? All right, do you want to be part of this and do you want to use it? You help out, you pay, whatever. I mean, handling it privately have been, at least in the past, one of the most successful ways of doing things. Just as you say, as soon as government gets in there, they're stupid, they're wasteful, they can't handle it right. Why a private company, in most cases anyway, can actually get the job done and they're out of there. Otherwise, you get other companies getting in there and doing a better job than them. There's competition on the service offered, basically, and that's a really important element in all of this.
Well, because we don't know who we are anymore, and we don't know that we are the god of government. We created government, so we are its god. We don't know that anymore. So we kind of let our dog off the leash, and it's off running around doing anything it wants to. That's why we're having problems right now. We can't control something that's off running around doing its own thing or turning on its owner, if that's what you want to believe is going on right now. And that's the whole illusion that's going on. That's where you get into the whole legal name argument and where on its face it doesn't look like they're really harming the people because they've tried to give us a different name and converted us to legal persons that are just titles and they're not really harming real people. I mean, like, the military actually believes this. The military, you'll hear, like, people in the military say, we don't kill people, we kill persons. Oh, so if you just call it something else, then it's, don't call it rape. call it surprise sex.
Right.
Then it's okay. Yeah. No. I didn't rape that person. It was just a surprise sex. They didn't really see it coming. Like this belief you can call something else and it ceases to become a crime, or it becomes acceptable because it's called something else, right? Like when people first started getting involved in the common law movement, they'd say, oh, you can't drive without a license. But if you call it traveling, or I'm perambulating, or I'm like just the names they would come up with to describe what they're doing, instead of calling it driving under the belief that it was the word driving that was getting them in all the trouble. When it's not, it's got nothing to do with that. You cannot make something illegal by calling it something else, and you cannot make something legal by calling it something else. Like something that would be a crime, like rape, and give it a new name, and therefore it's okay, right? Murder is murder. I don't care if you call it preemptive warfare or not.
Yeah, that's
right.
So
they're doing it. They're trying to get different. They're trying to give things different names to justify what they're doing. It's like if we're stupid enough to believe their definition, and that their lawyers say it's okay now. How many times have you heard in the last 10 years from the Bush administration and then the Obama administration that their lawyers have determined that as long as we call it this, we can go and do it?
Yep.
Right? That's the word games. That's why lawyers were banned from being in government in the original Constitution there. I think it was the 13th Amendment that's been all but destroyed, that people don't even know exists anymore. Lawyers were forbidden from participating in government because people knew what a bunch of lying bastards that they all were. They got dual loyalties. They're members of the Bar Association. And that's what this all comes back to is wordplay and making sure that people are ignorant and don't know better.
Wasn't there many who wrote the Constitution, the American? They were lawyers, the majority of those though, right?
I don't think that they were, actually. I think there's been a lot of accusations that many of them might have been Freemasons or a lot of other crap that goes along with it, but it doesn't really matter. Either way, it's a well-worded document. And they were sick and tired of foreign rule, and they wanted to create something here that respected people's rights. And this is easy to do. Like that's the solution part that I'm trying to get onto with people, is we've got to stop trying to dissect what was done 200 years ago or 100 years ago or 50 years ago and just finally acknowledge the fact that this doesn't work. And let's just go and do something better, right? Like, I'm a contractor. Why would I continue to try to salvage a building that was built 200 years ago? It's collapsing in on itself by trying to understand how they built it in the first place to try to give it new supports or put up this wall or, you know, just try to salvage it? Or at some point do you realize, you know what? Let the building fall. I'll just go build a new one.
Just knock it down. It's too complicated. Yeah, it's like a Gordian knot. You have to, you know, you have to just cut it straight through. You can't unravel this incredibly complicated knot, you know?
Just abandon it and build something new. And then a lot of people are waiting around maybe for the government to do that. Or they're protesting or they're doing something else equally as useless.
They're expecting the people that have created the problem to offer the solution to them.
Yeah, fix this, make something better, something new. Okay, they'll just go and they'll create something just as friggin' corrupt. And in 50 years, your grandchildren will just be slaves, probably even worse than ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna beg the government to build me a garage. I'll build it.
That's right. How difficult is it?
It's not. Are you trying to tell me that we can't do something, we can't one-up these people? Look around you. You're trying to tell me we can't do a better job than this for free?
And people think immediately, oh my God, what about the police force or firefighters or school or any of this? But it's like the needs are still going to be there. There's still going to be people out there who are capable, actually more than capable of what's out there right now, to pull these things together, to organize things, to make it happen, to actually move quicker than what's happening now. See, the more you centralize something, the more and more stupid a system like that becomes, because it's not in touch with the small local areas. If you have a small local area that's in need of a school, they could even cater to the individual needs of the children that's going to be part of that school. I mean, how about that?
Well, it's exactly it. It's not like you have to dismantle all of these systems that are in place, right? Like, people always get into the common argument of money with me. Well, money's evil. We need to go back to gold, or we need to go back to barter, or we need to do this. We need to completely, you know, dismantle the old system, and money's just bad. It's the money that's enslaving us. That is such hogwash, and it's one of the biggest Freeman myths out there that I've been attacking lately, especially because people don't seem to understand something, and that is that money is just a tool.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Money can be used to do good things, and money can be used to do bad things. Just the same way I can use a framing hammer to build a house, or I can use a framing hammer to split somebody's head open and kill them. Okay?
That's right.
Does it is the hammer evil because I use it to bash somebody's brains in?
Certainly not.
Certainly not. It's what you're doing with it. So the idea that money is evil, we need to get away with that, is just nonsense. We just need to start doing things that need to be done ourselves. We need to start connecting with one another and building our own little communities and start doing things that are positive. Again, if money is money evil if I use it to feed a starving person? No, obviously I'm using it to feed a starving person. But when people are paying it to the government in income taxes, and they're smoking and they're gambling and they're doing all this crap with money that's doing nothing positive, but being just a direct source of taxation for the government again, who's doing everything in power to enslave you, throw you in prison, make you work like a slave, and start wars with foreign nations, well, things aren't going to get better around here.
That's right. Yeah.
It's what you're doing with it that's evil. Quit blaming the money for your liabilities, for your wrongdoings, for your inability to do something positive with this world. Oh, it's the money. It's not me. No, it is you, because you're not doing anything positive.
Yep, that's right. And they're continuing to support, just as you say, the government that goes to war, and they're willingly participatory in that system and in that way that they're handling their business. If you're not, don't support it. Get it out.
Yeah, you're shopping at Walmart and you're supporting a company that buys all its products off of some of the world's worst corporations with some of the worst human rights abuses taking place and the world's worst environmental track record. Oh, but it's cheap. Okay, well then what you're doing is what makes money evil. You're supporting that nonsense.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's all these hypocritical people out there, and that's actually the root of the problem, and that's where the solution-based thing is coming in now. We're starting to attack that, and what we want is we're going for a complete divestment from their system. And you got to remember, it's not that, you know, people can't, oh, well, then you can't use their money. It's not their money. It's ours. It's our money.
It's whoever's money that's using it. I mean, if you use it right and if you support the people that, you know, you agree with, you effectively create a community with the aid of your money. Support the farmer that you know, or if you don't get to know one, those who make and produce things that you're on the level with, those who understands some of the concepts of doing this in the right way and, you know, with the right material that is, you know, good for us as human beings, etc. It just goes on and on. But if people support those people that know doing a good thing, then you effectively create a bubble within that small community, and you have the money move around there, and you support each other. How difficult is that?
Spending habits alone could change the world tomorrow without everything else we got planned. That's it.
Vote with your dollar, right? What happened with that idea?
That's exactly it. So and stop voting in the other system. Deregister from voting as quickly as humanly possible. So. And again, that's part of the thing here is that a lot of people were kind of bitching at first that we were charging $15 a month for a membership to be part of our forum here without really telling people what we were going to be doing yet. And it makes me laugh because it's like, well, these same people that claim to have no money will willingly pay the cable company $150 a month. They got no problem buying two packs of smokes every week or probably a pack a day. They got no problem buying a case of beer.
Yeah.
So that they can get drunk and become and go fight people and support the beer companies that are just part of a giant conglomerate that's also building bombs to be dropped on people on the other side of the planet.
Exactly.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Yeah, but supporting Dean Clifford? No.
Yeah, but they're
no
pissed
way.
Off that we want $15 because we're trying to teach you what's the culmination of our research from the last 15 years. So that's another thing is people really just need to get their heads out of their asses. That's a big problem too. Everybody needs to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and realize that, A, they're looking at the problem and that they're also looking at the solution. It doesn't go any further than there. Everybody's waiting for somebody to come along and save them. Dude, go look in a mirror because that's the only individual that's going to save you.
And that's also where many people, unfortunately, bail out. They want to run as far as they can away from themselves, right? They don't want to realize that it's actually the responsibility is in their hands. They want something else to come along that says, I will lead you, you know, by the hand through this. And when you come out the other end, everything will be good, you know?
Not a problem. Unfortunately, that's exactly what insurance companies are. No, no, don't worry about it. We'll assume your liability, but then you have to do what we say. Hey, not a problem. Does everybody want me to run the world? Not a problem. I will assume everybody's liability. But now you're going to do what I say.
So taking, or rather giving away that responsibility is giving away
freedom
and your life and everything surrounding that that makes you, well, to try harder. You want to change things and basically, well, you run your own life, your own business, right? And if you give that up, someone else is going to run it for you.
Freedom and responsibility are synonymous terms.
Yeah.
If you don't want any responsibilities, then you might as well, you also had just stated that you don't want any freedom. You want somebody else running your life.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, I've heard people who are ignorantly laughing at people who are what they call, quote unquote, obsessed with their freedom, that they're, you know, I've literally heard this from people that there should be a limit to freedom and things like that. And then you realize how bad it is when people are actually willing to be part of a slave system and actually don't have any problem with it. And here comes the topping to that cake, Dean. Should they be allowed to be in a system like that if they want to? Should they be allowed to be enslaved if they so please?
Absolutely. That isn't that what freedom's all about, is the right to choose? If they want to be part of a system that where they are slaves, they must obey whoever that they allowed to assume their liability, that's fine. But don't be forcing it on me. That's when we're going to have a problem. Your rights end where mine begin. That's the only law that needs to exist on this planet. After that, it's just what was damaged and how much is it going to cost to fix it. That's the only law that's needed. My rights end where yours start. And the minute somebody trespasses into somebody else's rights, however they were injured, they need to be compensated for that, and the other party needs to be held liable. It's a pretty simple concept. Does that sound like something we need 1 billion statutes on the books to enforce?
No.
No.
Well, and here we're back again with the problem with the system then, because most of these are driven from the point of view of collectivism. That means that they are actually dependent on how you live, or that you live in a certain way with them, or that you abide to what they want you to, you know, behave and live in, etc. And the problem here is that, as far as I know, there's no land left on the earth where you can go to opt out of the system, say, no, thank you, you can live your way, but let me live my way, I'll just go over here.
Well, yeah, and again, that's why I'm trying to teach people, we actually, number one, we don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to flee. This is our house. It's ours. When it comes to corporations and governments, man reigns over all of those, which is why they don't want you knowing that you are of mankind and you have rights and that you're actually the creator of governments and corporations. Because we have the same power over them that our creator has over us. We're the ones that placed restrictions on their creation in the first place. So it's a very important concept because it you better believe it's true and it works. They're terrified of people that know who they are and truly believe it. Now, we don't need to leave this system because it's ours. It's our system. Guess what? Do I need a house that's off the grid so that I'm not on the power grid here in Manitoba where I live? No. It's my power grid. I own it as a joint tenant with every other man, woman, and child in this province that has a claim to the resources and a claim to this earth. It's ours. We own it. I don't need to get off the grid to get away from government. It's mine. It always was mine.
Even if you were not part of the setting up the company that provides the service?
Oh, I completely disagree. We are who allowed that corporation to set up its service. Number one, and this is going to be the same everywhere. It really doesn't matter. Number one, are they not using our resources?
Yeah, well, it all depends on where they get it from, I guess. But yeah, I mean, the idea is that they use something that's local to the area, if that's hydro, you know, water or whatever, or if it's solar or wind, or but if it's oil and gas and if they import it from elsewhere, don't know.
Well, that's the big problem. Yeah, if it's imported from elsewhere. But again, where's the money coming from to buy all that then?
Yeah, the idea is that it comes from the people who are buying the service, right?
Everything comes from us. It's all ours. We have to stop this belief that it's their system and we need to go completely start a new one or be off the grid or disappear completely from their system. It's not. It's our system. They just hijacked it. It's all that's going on. We own all the equity and everything going on around here. It all comes back to us in the end. Because at the end of the day, there is no such thing as a corporation or government. There's only mankind. That's it. That's the only thing real.
So if you, and let's just extend on this because it's an interesting idea. If you create a company, the Dean Clifford Company, and you start up a service and you provide that to people, should they come in and be able to change how that service is provided?
Well, no, that's a little bit different. That's something that I've specifically created. I mean, people, nobody can change what I've created. That's mine. I own all equity in that. But for instance, like a national energy conglomerate. Like here in Manitoba, we got something called Manitoba Hydro. And there's a Manitoba Hydro Act. So it's actually a monopoly where, quotation marks, the government passed an act that created a crown corporation that went and started damming up all the rivers that are owned by the people and used the credit of the people to build the dams and to put up the power lines and to pay everybody to start generating electricity. So if the people own the land, the people financed it, and the people are the ones that granted it to be created, who owns that all?
Well, these days, the companies that they've, they privatize these things in most countries these days. And so...
Well, who had the authority to private? Who had the authority to sell an asset that was owned and controlled by the people?
Exactly. That's pretty interesting.
No, nobody. So that's all bullshit. And... these nuclear power plants, we don't need them in the first place. Okay, the amount of money they've spent on these nuclear power plants and all the banker bailouts, they could have put enough solar panels on this planet to generate, to power this entire Earth probably 10 times over. That's all nonsense. That's all just nothing but energy directed towards keeping people reliant on a system that's being used to enslave them, right?
Yeah. And again, we're back to the idea that if the concept here, if there's an underlying agenda to control people, then whatever peripheral discussion one has about these kinds of system will never be resolved, because the ultimate purpose and the point of it is to keep people in this point, position of dependency and keeping them controlled effectively. So
there you go. You know? It's the dependency is the problem. Now anybody can simply start to alter their lives to live more. In abundance, and not rely so heavily on all these allegedly government-controlled industries. I mean, every American has an SUV, air-conditioned homes, 6 TVs, 3 gaming systems, a house that's probably 4 times bigger than what they really need. They have all this crap that they don't actually need. And that's why they're dependent on the system to keep that all going. This belief that they need all the crap that they have.
And then most people live above their means. They borrow the money to get these things instead of actually being restrictive to, all right, how much we actually do spend and how much do we actually need and keep it to that level. But yes. This idea that the bankers have managed to... ultimately, again, it's like what you said, Dean. It's personal responsibility. Look in the mirror. Who caused the problem? But at the same time, they've been propagandized into believing that they need all these things and that they should have everybody needs a mortgage, right? Everybody needs to live above their means and just pay the debt all the time, but ultimately no one is forcing that situation upon us. That's a free choice. As far as I know, that's everyone who's in that situation has made that because of a free choice.
Yeah. And then when shit starts to fall apart, they go and they demand that the government fix it. I'm not going to fix this mess. I'm not going to clean up my own mess. You do it. Oh, okay, so you want me to assume liability for everything again? I can do that. Now you're going to live by even more rules and regulations as I try to fix this for you.
Yeah.
Okay, again, everybody needs to look in the mirror to find both the problem and their savior, the solution. Because you're it. If you can't learn to live more responsibly and start to take responsibility for your actions and start getting things back on course yourself first, then why are you out protesting? Why are you out blaming the government for everything? Why are you blaming everybody but yourself?
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you how you think it is that some people manage to slip through the cracks pretty much. I mean, some people seem to be in a position where they believe everything that they're being told. They're really, effectively traumatized by the education system and completely dependent on how to live, their lives, consequently on what, government and media and everything else have been telling them. But some people, for some reason, seem to slip through the cracks. There seems to be, these days, actually more and more people that are waking up to what really is going on. At least they have an interest in asking some of the bigger questions. What is running this, from a bigger perspective, do you think, Dean?
In terms of people staying deluded and in the system, you mean?
Yeah, some people seem to be doing that, while others seem to be kind of zooming out more, questioning it more, and actually try to move away from it, or at least doing something in a different way to break out of this dependency pattern.
There's going to be the people that are the most dependent on the system, that want the most from their neighbors. The government should be stealing more from my neighbor so that I have more, you know what I mean? Those people love the system because they get the most benefits from this system. They love it when the government comes out and steals something from me because they're the ones that directly benefit from it. So society is really starting to break along those lines of people that will defend this system to the death, and the people that want nothing more to do with it. And the people that are going to stick around it the longest and they're going to defend it the most are the people that they actually are probably incapable of starting to of acknowledging that things might be the way that we say they are, because their entire reality matrix would probably disintegrate. Their sanity actually relies on the fact that they believe that this is the way things are, and there's no way they could have been deceived or brainwashed or deluded their entire lives, because that would be, among other things, incredibly humiliating. It would be such a shift in their thinking that they might not even be capable of it. So that's going to be the first problem. And as for everybody else that's getting out of the system, I think those are the people that are adept at change. They're the people that are okay with accepting beliefs and concepts like that. And they probably realize that everything is not okay in the world, and looking the other way is not going to make it get any better.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about the idea that ongoing as a sub agenda to all this is actually to break the economy, break the economical system, destroying the financial system that has everything to do with money and everything else, and moving countries and these super states like EU, eventually the North American Union, and all that into more of a system that is run and governed by government. I mean, we can make some peripheral comparisons. For example, in Sweden, people are incredibly heavily taxed. Most of everything is run by government, or about the monopoly corporations that are in bed with government. It's really the one and the same at the end of the day. And you don't have any competition. You don't have any option or choice in terms of where you want to go with your services. Pretty much, I'm generalizing, but that's pretty much the idea. While in other countries, you have a little bit more leeway on this. There's still a bit more wiggle room. Do you think that there is an agenda to actually destroy the financial system, demonize money, just as you said, to kind of move that out of the picture, to create a state and a system that is even more run by government, where they basically hold all the money as credits, and then they grant you depending on need and stuff like that?
Well, that's exactly what the whole problem reaction solution equation is, where the government has a certain solution they want, like world government and all credits controlled by the government. And so they create the problem, which is instability in the markets with paper currency. So they create the problem that will lead to their solution, as the only answer to stop this from happening in the future. It's no different the way that they brought in the Federal Reserve in 1917 or whatever, claiming that this was going to make it impossible for stock market crashes to happen again. And since then, that's been the sole cause of the instability in the markets, has been this Federal Reserve system that they said was going to be created to do away with exactly what the problem was at the time.
Yeah.
They wanted a Fed, they wanted a central bank. They created a problem that was a stock market crash, and then their solution to that problem was this. There was this bank, this central bank that was going to get rid of issues like that in the future. So they create the problems that give rise to their solutions, so that they can come in as the white in, knight and a white horse. So there's no question that if this monetary system goes down, it's because they've got the replacement already in mind. And they're ready to bring it in. So, but as for is it like, are they going to crash everything and there's going to be anarchy and just the world's going to go into a dark age for a while? Not a chance.
No.
There's way, way, way too much risk in that for the people that are at the very top of this Ponzi scheme. They would never want to risk their power and their authority with all out anarchy. They're always going to make sure that it's a controlled.
Deconstruction or something.
Yeah, it's always going to be in their favor. You know, it doesn't matter how risky it looks what they're doing. They're never going to risk that openly. They're going to make sure that it's controlled opposition. They're going to make sure it's a controlled demolition. So it's their building that goes back up, right?
Yeah.
Just like 9/11. Is that interesting? So they, you know, controlled demolition to bring down the towers. Now they got their Freedom Tower that got put up. Make me puke. So. That's exactly what's going on, and people really need to wake up to that. But in the end, the solution to this is great, because it doesn't matter what they do. All you have to do is wake up and realize who you are, and you've got more power than them anyways. Doesn't matter what lies they put in front of you. All you have to do is wake up and realize that you're not the slave. You're not the legal person they're trying to convince you that you are, and you're actually mankind. And you're above in the order of operations of how things work on this planet. You've got God, then you've got man, then you've got government, and then you've got corporations in that order. You are above government. Government is your creation. You own it. It works for you when you realize who you are. And that's one of the things we're trying to teach to people. Well, this is actually, and again, if this last issue with me wasn't proof of that, then I don't know what is. And if there was just outright tyranny right now and there was no laws being obeyed anywhere or recognized or rights, I would still be in there, okay?
Mm.
They're going to test you. They're going to threaten you. They're going to see if you're going to fold and cave in and give in to their will and prove that you're a slave.
Is that what it's about ultimately? It's
absolutely.
A war of intention and willpower?
Absolutely. You have no rights unless you're willing to defend them. You only have the rights that you're willing to defend. That's it. That's the only rights you'll ever have. If you're not willing to stand up and defend any of your rights, then how many do you have?
None.
None. Then get to work, because you got taxes that are due.
And again, let me go back to that point a little bit. In the monetary system as it is now, and of course it's not perfect. I mean, what is that has been invented or made by man? But nonetheless, there is a small wiggle room of freedom. You can handle your own business. If you do have your own money, you can choose where to spend it, etc. While other people are looking for the system to collapse or crash or take it away altogether. But what would be the danger if that happened? What do you see? How would that serve the agenda and governments even more, Dean?
Well, education for one. We stopped educating the young. We stopped educating our own kids, and we left it up to the tyrants that are trying to steal everything from us. Okay? So when the house thief is left in charge of educating your kids, you're going to have two house thieves. So the first failure is with us. And again, there's no problem with the system. The system works just fine. The system can be used to do very bad things, and the system can be used to do very good things. But the problem is that evil triumphs when good men do nothing.
Yeah.
Edmund Burke. Well, good men are doing nothing. That's changing. We're starting to do good. We're starting to stand up and say, nope, that's the end of her. And we got to remember that now we've got this now that we've got this internet and we've got this whole world of people that are connected now and sharing information, it's not like it was a couple of hundred years ago where all they had to do was start a couple of wars and all information broke down and countries went into many dark ages again where everybody was more in fear of their lives and eating than they were in remaining educated, stuff like that. I think we're kind of at a turning point, a watershed moment maybe in human history here where the whole world is watching. And crimes like these just can't be hidden or buried anymore. And in order to destroy all the progress that we've made and all the people that are out there working and trying to do good, you'd almost have to destroy the world to cover that all up. And I don't think they're prepared to do that. So
yeah. I think you're right. And I think there is there's a window of opportunity as they are trying to clamp down, bring in more control. They have to take more risks as they're doing that, and they will get more and more people to open up their eyes to what's really going on. And also at the same way then start to do the right thing within the system, basically wake up to the evils that are out there and just simply, again, vote with your dollar, so to speak. Do what you believe is right by supporting the people that you know and that is doing the right thing. It's really very simple, but most of the time we think that the solution has to be something really, really complicated and has to have a, you know, 12-step program, and it has to, you know, involve all these complicated things when it's just using common sense and doing the right thing.
Yeah, well, and exposing it is exactly it. And I'm big on ridicule and mocking. Those are two of my favorites as well, and satire.
Right.
So like when you're in an elevator with a corrections officer and they're like, oh, so you're one of those free men. Instead of like denying it or trying to like get an argument of any kind or whatever arguments people use nowadays, I just come right back and shoot right back and say, well, yeah, of course I'm free, aren't you?
You're one of the enslaved ones then, huh?
Yeah, I'm really sorry if you're not free. You know, sorry that you're a slave kind of thing, and that makes them think. Like we're inherently free. I just thought that was common sense. Like you say, free man, like it's a derogatory thing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
just like the media taught you to react to a word like that.
Well, now so, freedom is terrorism, and it's you know, what's his name, Will Ferrell on a billboard with an American flag and a machine gun in front of him and says freedom. You know, that's who you are now when you talk about that word kind of thing.
Yeah, it's they're losing though. That's the funny thing is that these are all acts of desperation. They are losing, and I always thank them for exposing themselves. Every time they do something stupid like this to me, I thank them. I said, thank you very much. You guys do a better job of exposing what you're doing than I ever could. Please keep it up. This last time in court, I told them that I should hire them for my PR department. Did you people wake more up, more of my fellow people than I possibly could? Like, and you're just getting my name out there more. Now more people are going to my website. This is great. Can you guys keep me in here another month? That's not the reaction they want from you.
No, exactly, and that's the way to look at it. I think as well. Then you, at the end of it, you don't have a crushed spirit. You come out winning, if you will, from the situation. Although that they have deprived you from you know, X amount of days of your life as a free sovereign human being. But all right, if that's the prize, then to help to spread your word even further, if you will, then I guess so be it for those who are willing to do that.
Yep. Oh, I told them that flat out. I said, well, don't you want to go home when they're trying to get me to make application for bail? I said, of course I want to. I said, but I'm not willing to do anything just to go home. I said, I'm not gonna let you guys do what you're planning here. I'm not gonna grant jurisdiction. I'm not gonna contract with your court just to go home. I'm not a coward. I said, if you're gonna force me to stay here, then number one, I'm sure there's a lot of people in jail that could probably really benefit from learning their rights. And number two, I don't know if you guys have looked outside right now, but it's about minus 45 and I'm a contractor. You couldn't have picked a better month to throw me in jail. This is awesome, man. I really didn't want to have to go frame this week because it is really freaking cold outside. So I'll just sit in a cell. You people can feed me and you're going to be liable for all the damages when I get out. And I can tell you right now, I can't earn money like that on a job site. The amount of damages you people are creating right now, I cannot earn that kind of money working for a living. So go ahead, do your worst.
Tell us about that again before we wrap things up then for this time. If there's any What is going to happen now, paperwork-wise? Are you going to, you know, send them stuff, etc.? What's going on
even,
there?
Even just within the system, generally accepted practices of going to court and suing people, this is going to be monstrous. This is a pure human rights violation where they admit they're throwing you in solitary confinement due to your political beliefs. Just filing a standard lawsuit alone with everything I've got against these people is going to be a jackpot. Just a jackpot. Not only, but now I also get to test out a whole lot more stuff that I've been working on to do with commercial liens and what to do with them and where to go with them and how to make and how to give them the full force and effect that people are looking for, right? And again, commercial lien, it's just what it says. It's a lien. The only way somebody's going to cut you a check is if you have shut their ability to conduct commerce down so badly that they'd rather pay you now because you're harming them further. You're harming them more than them just paying you would cost them. So I'm harming their business more than if they just were to pay me out and be rid of me. That's what a commercial lien will do. Getting an actual order to pay and starting to seize real property, a commercial lien will never do that, but we don't know exactly how to do that as well. And anybody that wants to study this stuff and with a little time and patience now can learn this, because there's been many people out there now that have made all of their research available online. It's all there. If you don't know how to do something, it's only because you're lazy. Because people have been making this available for years now, and I do find it interesting, by the way, and this lets me know that these people realize that the gig is up and they're in a lot of trouble. Every movement that I have seen come along in the last 6 months or a year has been headed up by a lawyer or an ex-lawyer. And I can tell you right now that all of these organizations are being created by the government or by the Bar Association or the Law Society to try to lure everybody into becoming part of the controlled opposition. You wanna stop you from doing something on your own. No, 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 we got this. We got this. We filed a lawsuit. We're going to fix everything for all of you people. You don't have to do a thing. Bullshit. That doesn't pass my first smell rule. The minute they want people to start doing nothing, stop it. Look, no, you guys don't have to do anything anymore. We took care of it all. Yeah. Sure. Sounds to me like somebody's worried about us doing something.
Do you want to name any titles or?
Nope.
Nope.
I'm not. I think people have probably come to know one thing, if anything else, for me, and it's that I do not comment on other people's work for the most part. I'll say who I like, whose work that I do like, and stuff like that. But everybody's got the choice out there. If I was to start telling people what I thought of other organizations out there, am I not assuming liability for their decision-making process now? They don't have to go and read and look into it for themselves anymore, because they're just going to take what Dean said on face value. Isn't that why we're having the problems we have right now?
Well, exactly. I mean, obviously, not that it matters. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Personal opinion can be useful and helpful, but at the end of the day, people shouldn't base their own decisions on what someone else thinks. So I think you're right in that regard.
Yep, absolutely. People can use their own discretion and their own common sense, and everything I've said tonight holds true. These are absolute truths. That's all they are. These are just truths I've been pointing out to people. I'm no smarter than anybody else. I just know truth when I see it, and I know bullshit when I see it.
Hmm?
Okay? Nobody can fix this problem for you, because we are the problem. We are a society of ignorant people who spend well beyond our means, and when we do spend all our money, we're financing corporations that are causing every problem on this planet.
Yep.
So who can fix that but you?
That's right. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't know who you are. You don't know how to contact the government properly. This is where some of the law stuff comes in, and you don't know how to put them in their place, because you created them. They work for you. You better believe that is the truth. And they're not worried about you, because you don't even know who you are. You can't hold them accountable because you don't know how. What do they have to fear from you?
Let me ask you one more question about that. In your opinion, do you think that it is enough to have a knowing and an understanding of how the natural law works? Or do you actually need to have the the wording, the legalese, the etymology, all the knowing about the system of the country you're in, etc., to be able to defend yourself verbally as well. What do you think?
No, in fact, the more you stay away from legalese and trying to get into fancy words, the better off you're going to be. Speak your own words and be plain and use as few words as possible, because that's actually a maxim of law.
So it's not about reiterating statutes or bringing up things from constitutions or passages here or there?
No, again, because every single one of those things, like the Constitution doesn't grant anybody anything. It simply restates what is already universally accepted truths. Doesn't it say that right in the document?
Yeah, doesn't it? I believe it does.
Then why do people think that grants them anything? It's restating what is just already obvious to anybody who's read anything on law. It's just restating the obvious. That's all it's doing. And that's not a law. That just means it's what's obvious. Obvious we're all created equal. Obviously, we all have unalienable rights. Obviously, my rights end where yours start. And if we're all equal, it's pretty easy to determine where my rights end and yours begin. This is not complicated stuff. They want you to believe it's complicated and that you need to recite entire libraries full of crap and nonsense that nobody in their right mind would ever want to read, when this is just plain basic stuff. I don't need to know much about law to tell somebody what my rights are and that they've damaged me. Okay, how much, if you punch me in the nose, how much verbiage and legalese do I need to know to be able to be able to state an injury?
Well, not much. Nothing at all, in fact.
Nothing at all. And that's what all law revolves on, is being able to state an injury. That's all. That's the only law there is. Because there's another maxim of law, I think it's a maxim of equity, which is a law, which is just a universal truth, that an action is not given to one who has not been injured. Which means if there's no injury, there's no dispute. If there's no dispute, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
That's how you can detangle yourself from law. All you have to do is look at the plain and obvious fact. Is there an injured party? Did I harm somebody? No. You can't harm society because you don't have a driver's license, and you may hit somebody. Okay? If making sure everybody has a driver's license made the roads safe, why are there still accidents?
Well, yeah, exactly.
If drunk driving laws were created to prevent the ability of somebody to drive drunk and harm people, then why are there still drunk drivers?
Because people don't abide to those rules that are set up.
There you go. And in fact, people are like, oh yeah, but without insurance, how are you going to pay for damages if you get an accident? You know what? It's insurance itself that gives people the illusion that they're not responsible for their actions, and an insurance company is going to pay for it if they cause harm. So if anything, they drive worse and more irresponsibly.
That's right.
I don't give a shit. The insurance company is going to cover it. Well, is that not the most irresponsible thing you ever heard? I'll tell you right now, if you saved up and you paid $20,000 cash for a car and you have no insurance, what are you going to drive like?
A moron to wreck my own car, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to speed. If it gets icy out, you are not going to be going over the speed limit. You're going to be careful. You're going to be terrified of hitting somebody. Isn't that the way we should all be operating every day in our lives, terrified of causing harm to somebody else?
Well, this is exactly one. This is just it as well. The standard in society is set by the criminal and by those who are incapable. We reach the lowest common denominator, and if someone is unfit to do something, let's adjust the entire society to make it better for that person, who is the one who's actually breaking those rules anyway, by the way.
Yes, no child left behind. Let's make sure that we lower every kid to the mentally challenged one in the back who has fetal alcohol syndrome and still doesn't grasp 2 + 2 in grade 8.
We are making so much damage, and we have no idea what the consequences are going to be in the long term because of what is going on right now with mankind collectively.
Yep. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But it's that whole mentality that I'm not responsible that's got us in this mess, or I don't have to pay for that. I don't have to pay. My insurance company will cover it. I don't care if I hurt somebody because my insurance will cover it, or I've got a good lawyer. Right?
Yeah.
It's just it's sickening what's going on. You better believe it. I don't think we've reached the lowest common denominator yet.
No. We're far from it.
We can go, yeah.
Oh, and the more they lower, the worse it will get as well. So soon enough, they will have their kind of techno utopia in place where basically no one is going to be driving the car anymore because we're too stupid to do it. So this AI system will handle everything we're doing. It's gonna, and then when that system crashes, you know, wow, that's going to be the day.
Well, long before that happens, when they have their technocratic society, they'll have killed off the useless eaters, all the people that allowed themselves to be lulled into such a low level of existence. They're going to fast food themselves into death. They're going to GMO corn and fast food themselves into death.
Yeah,
so they won't be around anyways.
Well, it's a soft kill. There's an ongoing depopulation happening, and as it stands right now, sure, people are propagandized, they are dumbed down, etc. But still, I believe that there are such a thing as responsibility and getting out of the situation you're in. But many people, they voluntarily sign up for it. They swallow the pill and just head straight in there without thinking twice.
Well, that's it. And then everybody's now demanding that the government require GMO labeling, and they're demanding proper food from the government. Okay? Well, okay, everybody needs to flip the script here and think about things from the reverse from now on. Only buy things that have labeling that clearly states that they're non-GMO. Don't try to force somebody else to put labeling on their product.
Yeah.
I agree. Only support the ones that do.
Exactly. Okay. Those are reasonable enough to offer you that service, so you know what you're getting in your food, what it is in your food, and what it is. Yeah.
And the problem is that's a level of common sense that doesn't seem to exist anymore. That, well, instead of demanding that these people label their food so that nobody buys it, just go and buy the stuff that is properly labeled and support those. Then you're voting with your dollar, exactly like what you said before. And guess what? If the government's not going to provide quality food for you, then grow it.
People will have to do it. Yep. To do it ourselves.
Start doing it. Get together with 20 people and buy a farm and start doing it.
Yep.
That's going to be the solution. Not demanding that government fix the problem when they are the government in the first place.
Well, that's why they're always happy when people are out with plaques. And because it still shows that, you know, the sheeple are coming to them to help them in the situation. I think that it doesn't matter if they're demonstrating the actual government itself. They still feel pleased that, oh, look at that. They're still coming to our door and kind of want us to do something about it or whatever. You know, it gives more power to them.
Yes. And everybody's saying, well, yeah, but now the government's coming. They're arresting people for growing an organic garden. Well, that's why you have to learn your rights. And there's no delay on that. I was just on Angela Stark's show there the other night, last week. I was taking a week or two hiatus from the radio and from just speaking to people, period, to get some of my own stuff done. I realized I promised her another show. And I went on there, and the first thing I said at the beginning of the show was, look, anybody that's on this call tonight that hasn't canceled their cable subscription, I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're here. You might as well hang up the phone right now. Because I've been on Angela's show I don't know how many times now, and I keep telling people, cancel your cable bill and stop listening to all this puke out there that the government's putting out in the media and Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't at least done that yet, then there's no point in you even being here listening to me speak. I've gotten tired of people that are just being hypocritical. I don't have patience for it anymore because we got to get something done here. It's probably time for some tough love, maybe. I don't know, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
The first couple of seminars that I gave when we were doing when I was traveling, we're starting to put on the little like the teaching seminars when I was traveling, and I'd start off right away by asking everybody. I'd say, okay, so who here is aware of the fact that money is absolutely worthless? And everybody'd be like, yeah, money's worthless. I'm like, so money is not worth anything. It's not backed by gold. It's just a worthless piece of paper. Yeah, that's right. I said, okay, good. Everybody take all the cash out of your wallet and pass it up to the front then, because I'll take it. Well, how much do you think got passed forward?
None.
Oh, turns out it was worth something.
Yeah, it's worth what we put into it. It is a system that is, sure, it's fictional, it's belief, it's tied to, of course, the work we do, but it's ultimately we could have chose anything as a currency. It's just it's a tool, as you said, it's a means of exchange, and it doesn't matter. But if you believe in it, if it represents something, then it is worth something.
Yeah, and its value is directly tied to its availability, how much there is in circulation. I took economics university. I know very well what makes money worth something. So either way, so that myth got dispelled right there. People have been arguing for a decade about whether money has any real value. Well, I proved it in 30 seconds or less that it's got real value, because nobody passed up the hundreds of dollars in their wallet after I said that. So clearly they did value it.
Yeah.
But they just want to, you know, like they just want to the same old dogma that's in the Freeman movement. Oh, money's worthless. It's all fiat. Barf, barf, puke, puke. The same crap coming out of people. So there's that, and there's other concepts too. They're just nonsense that I'm kind of on a big mission now to really try to rebut with people and make them see that it's just nonsense to be saying some of the things that they're saying. They're actually making themselves look foolish just by saying half of these things. So, geez, I don't know where else to go with that.
Well, that's good, Dean. It's good stuff. It's been good having you back. We will have to have you back at some point later. Have an update and see where things is going, but it's interesting times indeed. Let's end with you giving your details again about the website, how people can join the forum, of course, and support you guys at the same time. And if there's anything more you want to mention about that, or what you know, people get when they sign up or whatever.
Yeah, please do. What I'm going to be unveiling here pretty soon, it's more, there was an attempt at, we were going to be launching a little educational system there a few weeks back there that has obviously been put on hold for reasons that a few people are very aware of. And I'm just going to incorporate it all back into the original plan that I was working on for several years now. Actually, I started writing a book about 8 years ago on how to fix this problem. And I decided to stop writing it because, number one, I don't think anybody would understand it or read it in the first place. And then putting it to practical application would be another problem as well. So I just figured, how about I just do it instead? So I've been working on it and planning on it. And the website is actually the start of that. And I was supposed to unveil to the members last week or 2 weeks ago now exactly where we're headed with what we got going on in the forum here. And kind of do a bit of an unveiling, and I'm not ready to do it yet. So people are going to want to come and maybe see what we got going on, because we're all about the solution here and real-world practical application of certain concepts that will absolutely empower and enable anybody out there to help change the world very quickly. I'm not talking like generationally. I mean within a matter of a couple of years. There's no question that we could not take back this entire planet, have it steered in the right direction, and make sure that that we're all working in harmony with nature and obeying real law and putting everybody else in their place. I got no, especially with the momentum out there that people are starting to gain traction now. No more fear mongering. No more. Look, this is look what's going on. These people are violating our rights. Yes, we realize that. So instead of pointing out how bad the party is, let's just start a new party then, because as soon as we start something new that's much better than the old, people are still going to start to become envious of what we got going on, because we're leading much better, much richer, much healthier lives, and our way will seem like heaven by comparison. And they're naturally going to want to leave the system that they're in right now, which is actually our system anyways, and come over to the lifestyle that we're living. So that's what we got going on, and it's the website itself is deanclifford.info. where there's going to be video logs, blogs, and daily podcasts eventually going up for information for people. Again, probably skits where I mock and I ridicule things, because that really seems to wake people up to what's going on around here when you really mock and ridicule things, kind of like South Park. Those guys are geniuses. and there's a link to how to join the forum there. And I kind of want to become... I don't want to use the word like a Greenpeace organization. We're not Greenpeace. I'm doing nothing like what Greenpeace is. But I want to become like the Greenpeace that could have been, that actually does something out there instead of just protesting and hiring lawyers to file lawsuits. We're going to actually literally do something. We're going to cause positive change. We're going to be doing some shit that I don't think most people have thought of. And once they see it and they think about it, they'll figure out real quick that, yeah, this is the real deal. This could do some real good things. So we're there and we're doing that. And I'm going to talk to you more about that actually maybe when we're off the air, maybe another time. You probably have to go, and I think I got to go.
All right. Well, but, sounds good, Dean. We always appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to leave us with here before we wrap things up then?
Not really. Just everybody should feel positive, by the way. There's a lot of positive change going on right now. But don't be fooled by courts and police officers starting to become sympathetic to our cause. It simply means that they're worried and they want to lull you into a sense of confidence so you stop fighting. So that maybe 10 years from now they can just go right back with what they were doing and we'll forget about the fact that we fought really hard for a decade and 15 years to get the freedom movement going. So don't do that. Number two, don't be scared of all the fear-mongering going on out there. Use some common sense here, okay? The American government is not going to go to war with its own people. And here's why. Aside from the fact that they would lose horribly, because there is no combination of military on this planet that could possibly take down 250,000 incredibly well-armed, crazy people, and that's what Americans are. Crazy sometimes in bad ways, but sometimes very crazy in very good ways. Now, the proof of that is, and people just have to think about this logically, if I was going to smash somebody's head in with a lead pipe, would I call them for 2 weeks in advance and tell them to watch their back because I'm going to smash their head in with a pipe? Would I warn them about what I'm doing?
What kind of strategy is that? Yeah.
What kind of a strategy is that? Now he's just going to be looking for it, right? And I'm just going to make him nervous. That's all I'm really going to do. I'm probably going to scare the guy.
And that's the point, isn't it? You want to have them off their kilter a little bit.
That's the point. They have no intention of actually killing that person. They just really want to scare them and really pay them back just in threats and stuff like that, right? If you were going to actually kill somebody and smash their head in with a lead pipe, you would do nothing. You would sneak around for a couple of weeks unseen until the perfect opportunity arose, and you would come up from behind and you would smash their head in. Okay? Now, when the American government starts putting out media publications that they've bought 1.4 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition and that they start driving these troop transport vehicles around cities and they're bragging about how armed their officers are now. We're arming all these people and oh, the military is going to start conducting exercises over LA, or they are conducting exercises over LA and they're firing blanks and stuff like that. And we're putting 30,000 drones into the sky that are going to be fully armed. And now it's legal to kill Americans without trial. Oh, and now as of 2 weeks ago, it's legal to hunt humans. The idiotic, sensationalist crap that these people have been coming out with in the media pretty much proves that A, they're terrified, and B, they have no intention of actually following through on any of their promises because they're giving you a decade to get ready for it and arm yourself to the teeth for the express purpose of killing them when the time comes. So it's nonsense. It's crap. That's the first thing that a weak individual does is they utter threats because they feel threatened.
Sure, yeah.
So quit believing the crap. This is just what some deductive reasoning and logic can do for a human being. They can see what's going on and realize that it's just that. It's crap. So quit being scared. Don't be scared to go and fight for your rights. They're not coming to kill you. In fact, they're terrified and they're hoping to hell you aren't coming to kill them.
Yeah, well, that's as the old saying goes, right? The people shouldn't be afraid of their government. It should be the reverse, the government afraid of its people, because they are ultimately the ones who are in charge of it. So and that's the way it should remain. And it has not been like that for the longest time. But I hope you're right, Dean. I hope the wind is turning, as it were, and that we're heading into a different direction and a new era here soon, because we certainly need it.
Yeah, but we don't need to do. We actually don't need to attack these people. By the way, that's what divestment is all about. You take your energy out of one system and you put your energy into something else.
That's right.
And that's one of the big concepts we're going to be talking about on the forum. And I hope everybody comes over there and gets on board to see what we got going on, because they can duplicate it where they are. And but before, if you just have young children now, long before they go to university, we can change this planet already.
Very good. And what you said before, Dean, lead by example. You know, you can show and demonstrate that there is an alternative. Action is stronger than words. And of course, you can yap all you want on others for all the wrongs that they are doing. But ultimately, it's what you do that counts, just as you said, Dean. Right. The website, deanclifford.info. We'll have more information for you. Please head on over there. Check it out. And thanks for your time today, Dean. We really appreciate your input and your perspective. So keep up the good work.
I'm hoping to. Like I say, I hope to make a big go of this. And like I say, you and I will have a chat on Skype here off air, so you kind of get a better understanding of what we got going on here. And we'll see if you're interested in getting involved yourself.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We appreciate your interest and for being a member. We have much more coming with Chris Thomas, Kevin Barrett, and Maria Wheatley, to name a few. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will talk to you soon.